Welcome to the Fatty Z Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy. Joining the phone, I have Todd. Hi, Todd.
I'm here. Shoot him in the leg, boys.
And I have Gearman Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
I'm doing all right. You lived up to your name this weekend, too.
But bought a lot of gear.
Well, we're going to talk about that here, immediately. So, as everyone probably knows, this past weekend was the Muskie Max. I want to say Cannonsburg. What is it, Washington now?
Washington. Yep, Washington, PA.
Okay. So, I guess, because I'm just so far up north, I never really realized this, but Washington seems to be just like a rundown ghetto.
That's a little harsh.
I mean, you said it peaked in the 1890s, so...
it was an old-school steel town. There used to be a lot of steel industries and some oil around there, and it hasn't had a steel mill or a steel headquarters in quite a while. So it's a lot of beautiful mansions in one area that all the steel barons used to live in, and people try to keep the houses up, and in some cases someone buys it and it doesn't quite keep it up, so then it becomes run down, and then you the history of any of these old towns that once boomed.
Yeah, definitely a little shady. I can say that I did. I know there of one vendor who the parking lot was kind of filled in behind there, and he parked out near the road, and he showed up, and someone siphoned all the gas out of his truck.
Oh, my.
It happened Saturday. That happened on Sunday at one point, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I feel bad for laughing, but you kind of.
Yeah, that happened right where we were. I do know some people stayed in the one motel down there, which we looked into, but I had a little warning, like, I don't know if I'd want to stay there. And I guess there were some shady characters down in the lobby the whole time, and they're like, I don't think they were staying in the motel. They were just hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly the interesting part of Washington, if I could put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I stayed in a pretty shady area.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly did.
Hardly any windows.
Basically cool, though.
Yeah. So let's. I did sleep pretty decent, but let's start from the beginning. Okay. So what was it? Last Wednesday or Thursday, we had Ryan on, mm-hmm. and we discussed, leading up to it. Right. Well, it was Thursday, yeah. And then so Todd, Friday comes. What did you end up doing?
Friday comes, we're getting ready to go. Waited until my daughter got off of school, picked her up early, and, she's gung-ho. She's excited. She's down there helping work the booth. We ran down there, and I took a load into the show, unloaded some grid wall, unloaded some things, and when I came back, she was already working. She was setting up tables. Dad, I think we ought to do it this way. She had some tablecloths out, and big help for me. And we started hanging baits. Andy showed up a little later. Everything was good.
So I decided to, I took the whole day off of work, and it was probably a good thing that I did it that way, because I woke up and I did a couple hours of packing. I thought I was pretty well packed Thursday night, but apparently not. But some of that, if I packed for 2 hours, it was probably more like I packed for 45 minutes and then I spent an hour and 15 double and triple checking everything.
This is mostly rod holder.
Rod holder stuff. I did, yes, because the baits, you had most of the baits. I had the show colors that we were promoting the week mm-hmm. of. But rod holders, counting, double counting, and getting some things ready here. So I'll do this small little announcement now, not that it's huge earth shattering. Right now we have a deal worked out to where a bunch of slanted rod holders should be going up to the Odyssey. The guy that's going to be kind of handling that is Hans Mann. He is at the Red October booth. As the details become a little more solid, we'll talk about it. But any of our Canadian listeners or anyone up there that is going to the Odyssey that doesn't want to pay stupid high shipping rates, this would be a really good time to get some rod holders. Now, the rod holders, just for simplicity, just to make it simple, they are going to be sold in a box. and the box contains two slants with down easts. Because he still has to work Red October and the his Carver baits, it just, this is it. This is the box. There's two in there, and this is how it is. There's no options. Don't ask for anything else. It's just slants. And we're working on how many slants he's going to be taking up there, but it's going to be anywhere between 10 and 25 boxes. The goal here is not to have any come back with him, because it's just, it kind of sucks to try to logistically move these things around, and every time you touch them, it basically costs money. So it's still in the infancy, but I'm hoping if everything works out, they're going to be a bunch at the Odyssey. So I needed to make sure that I had, you know, the tape, the boxes, instruction sheets, all the stuff I normally wouldn't be worrying about at the show. I had to make sure I had all that. So, anyways, so I did all that. Kids went off to school. I said, I have a couple permission properties I want to take a look at. So I put on my boots and hopped in the truck, and I put 6 miles on looking for sheds to find one. And I saw a woodchuck. That was kind of neat to see a woodchuck March 1st. Really stupid this time of year. Like, horribly stupid. Like, I almost shot it with a pistol, kind of stupid. But
yeah.
Anyways, so did that, ripped my legs to pieces, made him really tired, loaded up the truck, and enough to, you know, late enough to where I timed it to where I make sure Todd was down at the show. It's important that Todd beat me to the show, because if I got there an hour before him, I'm just going to be standing there because he had all the stuff to set up. So timed it like that, got down there, I don't know, about 6:30 or so. And shortly thereafter, I met up with Steve and I followed him back to his house, which was a little interesting, that drive.
Because, you're making this sound shady out of the gates.
Well, let me just say this much. I don't know. I don't know if you just wanted to get out of that part of town, or that's just how fast everyone drives down there. Because I don't know where I'm at. Like, this is not the first time I've been on that road, but probably the first time in 15, 20 years. So I don't remember anything. It's a 55 zone. I don't know where I'm at. It's nighttime. It's headlights time. It's raining.
Oh yeah, it was raining.
It's a 55 zone, and I'm trying to follow a car that's doing 70, 75. Like,
I was not going that fast.
Yes, you were.
No way. People were passing me.
You got to get the hell out of there, man.
That's what I'm attributing it to, is that it just was a bad part of town, and Steve's like, I'm out of here.
But that's how we drive down here, man. I don't know what you slowpokes do up in the north, but that's it. That's your normal pace.
Slowpokes.
We live in a different area. I mean, like, so I, after taking my daughter down there, and we jump on the high, and we get out of there, we get on whatever route that is, and then you jump on the 79, you come up, and then once I got up here to my house, I got off my exit, and I didn't pass a car. It was rainy. I couldn't see well, and I said to my daughter, who is, you know, 15 years old, I was like, wow, I'm a lot more comfortable right now. And she's like, Dad, I want to live where there's, like, some property, and that's insane. The cars and the lights and the four lanes, which one to be in. And, yeah. And it's not like we're not talking a big town here. It's just, and I live a pretty simple life up here where we live.
I mean, I was able to keep up, but I completely agree with your daughter, Todd. It's,
it is
crazy tight. And the other thing that I know we've talked about Pittsburgh and stuff like this, it's like on one side of the road, it's a straight up cliff that will kill a mountain goat. And on the other side of the road, it's like an 80-foot fall into a river.
Into a river. Like, don't go off the road. And, you know, when I'm down there, when I drive through there like that, it's just like, where is everyone going down here? Like,
What could possibly be so good that there's this many people?
People driving around down here. What are we doing? I mean, I had somewhere to go for work. What are all these other people doing?
They're driving around looking for gas to siphon.
Apparently. You know, hearing you guys, I find it so entertaining because to me, where I live, you all know where I live. I'm in the suburbs. I am not what you describe as the chaos and the lights. I look at that as when I go to downtown Pittsburgh, which still is nothing compared to, let's say, downtown New York.
No.
The way you guys describe it, it's like, this is the suburbs to me. This is the relaxed part of town.
No, and like...
Granbury to the north and where you live to the south of the burg. I mean, basically, I mean, I call that all Pittsburgh. As soon as I leave my house and I drive 20 miles, I'm like, okay, I'm in Pittsburgh from now till I go to Washington. Yeah, it's not the same downtown, but it's close.
The funny thing is like, I'm going to be telling a story of my Monday morning when we get to, I mean, Sunday morning when we get to Sunday. But when I show people on the map where I stayed, like on Onyx or something like that, I'm like, yeah, right here, and the story will make more sense. And I'm like, look, and I start zooming out, and their jaw's like, that's a lot of houses. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And it's just like...
It's still not a lot.
Okay, you built a fence to stop the basketball from rolling 3/4 of a mile down the hill and into a river.
Well, that's not a river. Down the road below. You're right. That is true because the way they develop land, you know, you got topography. So they got to have a slope somewhere if you want some flat. So, yeah. So there's a behind my basketball hoop. If the ball goes over the fence, it's rolling down a hill that goes down another hill that goes down into a road that's ending up somewhere. Yeah.
At the bottom of those hills has to be water because – the number one rule of plumbing is water goes downhill.
Yeah, it's got to go past 3 or 4 streets, a couple restaurants to get to the, water.
Nothing by that, but yeah, it's headed that way.
Yeah. But something will stop it before it gets there.
So, anyways.
This is big travel for us, Steve. You got to remember that.
I find it like I said, to me, this is summer. This is the relaxed life.
Well, like, okay, so here's something, like, flashing back to June, July when you were over at the house and you're like, you know, my house, we were just got done fishing or something like that. You're like, man, I should bring my girls out here. They can see what it's like to have, like, a yard and room. And I'm like, this is just, you know, 10 acres you're seeing here. This is nothing. And then I'm like, I was reminded of, like, where you're at. In 10 acres, there's 20 homes. And I just...
Yeah, more than that. Well,
yeah.
I'm like, holy crap. And then, you know, then I get home, and I don't want to skip too far ahead. I get home on Sunday, and I'm like, yeah, this is a little more like it. I like having to take, you know, like 15 seconds to walk across a driveway, not two steps. And, you know, we're pulling in on Saturday. You're like, man, that's an odd-looking truck parked at the end of my cul-de-sac. And I'm like, are you concerned? Because I would be. Just strange vehicles parked in the middle of nowhere. But anyways, so
yeah,
we get back to Steve's house, get everything set up, and let's see, your wife and kids were not home yet. So we just kind of hung out in your kitchen area. And I doubled down on my plan to become a ninja. My plan was to become the least intrusive of a guest as possible. If your wife and kids do not see me, it's a win because then I'm going to be invited back because I don't want to be that creepy guy that's, you know, hey, you know, he came up and he looked at me for a half a second too long or something like that. So I'm like, I'm just going to go hide in the basement.
That's where you stayed, the basement.
But like I get down there. And here's like this perfect little air mattress laid out with bed sheets and a nice pillow there. And you were thoughtful enough to run this long extension cord to put it right next to like where I'd need to charge my phone. And you had the TV hooked up and there was a little bowl of snacks.
My wife laid that out.
And I'm like, so here I am. I'm like, I didn't want to be this intrusive. Like I told you already, Steve, if you would have like flattened a cardboard box and thrown it in the corner, I would have laid on it and been happy.
Well, it's funny too. when Andy talked about excuse me, the potential of staying here just because, you know, Todd, you were going back and he just wouldn't have a place to stay at a hotel. And it just, it was an expensive endeavor. And I said, sure. And he said, well, you know, we talked about the bathroom amenities. He said, would you have like a shower in the basement? I said, well, I do, but it doesn't work. You know, the valve's messed up. He's like, well, just give me a washcloth and warm water and I'll be good. And I'm thinking, what kind of hobo are you living in my basement? So between then and now, I went out and fixed the valve. I got it all replaced and working. So at least give me incentive to finally fix the shower that wasn't working for the last 3 years.
So the funny thing is like, you know, that valve wasn't working. And I understand that if it's not a bathroom, you use that often. But it was like a 5-star bathroom. It had everything. It was perfect, well-lit. Like, when I think of, like, a basement bathroom, I kind of think of, like, okay, there's going to be, you know, a bunch of cobwebs in the corner, and it's like water-stained cement. It's like, nope. It's like, this was, like, the upstairs master bathroom. Not in size, but...
The old toilet sitting on top of, like, a box because it has to pump up to the septic. No.
Oh, yeah, a Pittsburgh bathroom or whatever Vance called it.
With no walls.
No walls. It's just in the laundry room. It's like shut the door when you go in there.
Yeah, it's like a barracks for the Marine Corps or something.
I had showers in my basement. It's just like the shower is just installed over the floor drain.
And yeah.
That's where my dad coming off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How big's your shower? Well, it's 20 by 30. Just don't splash too much.
Right into the floor drain.
You're gonna get it on the furnace if you do that.
Don't splash much; you might get electrocuted.
Yeah. It's well lit. It's painted up nice. It's fully stocked with towels and washcloths and anything that you need. And I'm like, jeez, I'm a jerk for messing this up. I'm down here just spreading my germs everywhere.
Oh, jeez.
And so. I'm like, hey, I want to slide out of this in the morning. Like, you know, we set it up to where my truck was easy to pull out. And I'm like, my plan is I want to leave no later than 6:30. So I woke up at like 5:30, 5:45, you know, got changed, brushed my teeth, slid out the door at like, I don't even know, 6 or 6:15, and found my way down to the local McDonald's, got an Egg McMuffin, a hash brown, and made my way down and got into the Muskie Max and started assembling rod holders for inventory. And I just hope about 7:15, Steve, you texted me and said, hey, did you leave? And I'm like, yeah, I've been gone for a long time. I don't want to interfere with family life.
For the new. Yeah, you wanted to make sure he was out before anybody got up.
Ninja.
Ninja.
So that was my thing until the Muskie Max started. I mean, Steve, you didn't even come on Saturday.
No, I couldn't. I had, well, and my big thing was I was out of town all week. So I flew in Friday evening. I had to go to the local church where I help and count the fish fry money and then came straight down to Washington to meet with you. So, so I didn't even get to get prepared to go. And then Saturday I had to coach a few basketball games and do a bunch of stuff. So I had no chance to even make it Saturday. So I missed that day. So I have nothing to add to the Saturday update.
Okay. Now, Todd, anything Saturday noteworthy for you?
Everything smooth, man. We got down there, plenty of time set up, other than we had a little bit of a credit card phone issue type things, but that's always
how it is.
Always got an issue with Todd. No doubt about it. Or Todd's phone, or my daughter knows all about it, and she was having a hard time. We had a few little glitches there. We got it all worked out.
And the face recognition, she like holds it to her face. She goes, it used to work for me. And she's like doing that and holding it to you, and
yeah.
But it ended up all working out. But like the weird thing was that we're like, oh, we have to toggle on the PA sales tax. So I go and I did that Friday night while I was in Steve's basement. Just, you know, it's a really stupid long way of having to do it on this app. So I do all that and whatever. And then Saturday when I'm like, hey, let's get you guys fired up and getting you fired up, it wasn't showing sales tax on your app. I'm like, okay, well, let's log out and log in. Maybe it takes that. No matter what we did. Well, okay, so we logged out, and then we didn't know the password to get back in.
We reset passwords, and we, yeah.
We were just like, just brainstorming, like, okay, just come over to me, and I'll run everything. And, you know, but it ended up halfway working out all right. And, but.
Could have been better.
It could have been smoother, but just those apps. You would think that they could have that stuff figured out by now.
Yes. And I mean, they're doing it on purpose. That other one we had was working fine. I had a card reader. We had everything going with PayPal here. Why did they get rid of it? Why?
I have no idea, but it was working. That was the nice thing, is it was working.
It was working fine. We'd used it for a couple of years, and you buy that stuff, you have to actually pay for it. I had a card reader in my truck so I could run them when I was doing my chargers. And, you know, then all of a sudden, like, this is going to be outdated by, you know, within the next 6 months. Your card reader's only going to work for the next three, and then you got to get a new app. And they're just stupid.
they don't work as good as the last one.
No, that's what I mean. It's just crazy. Or they're harder to get, they're harder to use, they're harder to set up. I mean, the other one was just fine. Why would you get rid of something that's fine?
But progress.
But I'm going to say this, the new app, that touch your card to this phone screen.
Oh, that's nice.
That is extremely nice. It's also terrifying because if it can sit there and read a credit card somehow through, I don't know what kind of microwaves it's doing or whatever, what can it do to my brain if it's next to my head?
Well, to me, the scarier part is if it's able to do that, then what can people do when they walk by you that their phone could pick up a credit card in your wallet, you know?
I don't know. All you got to do is put a little amplifier on that thing, and you're collecting everyone's money.
I mean, I will say that, Andy. I mean, you know, before we did, we were in a lot of buildings where that card reader would not work, and we had to sit there and type the numbers in. What's your number? That took a lot longer. So even though we were making the check, my daughter was making the checkouts, and we'd look over, Andy's not that busy right now. Hey, Andy, boom. And it's this, tap it. It was much quicker. I will say that.
It was very nice when, I mean, it didn't work perfect every time, but it worked most of the time to where I did have to manually enter in a couple and.
Oh, did you? Yeah. But for the most part, we were able to interrupt you for about 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was done. Yeah.
So the nice thing, you know, Saturday is it was, I would say, average in that, you know, we had a rush. People were, you know, saying hi, getting stuff, this and that, talking, catching up. It was a pretty good day. I think the venue, I wouldn't, you know, everyone liked Printscape, but I wasn't there wishing it was Printscape.
No.
I think I'm like, this is just as good as Printscape. It's well lit. It's not horribly noisy, and adequate space.
I think we had a little more in the walkways and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. And I mean that goes back to Sean Muskie Max, Musk guy on Lake Party. I mean he's searching. You know, you got to look at the situations these guys get in. Hey, we got a great venue here. Oh, we're shutting this down. Oh, we're charging you four times as much because now it's a Hilton and not a Ayrton. You know, so he's got to search. He's got to move. And I mean, I think, like just you said, Andy, I would have. It was not much different than any other shows we did. I think there was more parking for people, and I think there was more room. In the big show, in the part of the mall we were in, and yeah, it was great.
Right.
Yeah, and I will say, when I did go on Sunday, the one thing I really liked was the lighting. I mean, that was fantastic. The lights they had in that place.
The first time we've never had to put our little spotlights up on our. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the spotlights on the baits really make them sparkle.
Yeah.
But the rows and rows and rows of fluorescence that they had, I'm like, I don't think we need to do this.
Yep. Honestly, it's probably the first show. I have about when we first started doing the shows, I have two or three different spotlight systems that I could take to the shows because we would show up somewhere and you're in this dark corner. It's like, we got to get some light in here. And, you know, one time it was an AutoZone and spotlight sitting on the floor shining. And I mean, you just got to be able to see.
Yeah.
I don't remember a show that we didn't put them up, and I didn't have them up when Andy came, and he had most of the baits hung other than the ones he brought on Saturday, on Friday night there going into Saturday. And I was like, Andy, I'm not even going to put them up. What do you think? And he's like, nope, don't need them. Let's go.
Yeah. It
was nice.
It was nice. It was good. Saturday, towards the end of the show, I was in contact with Steve. His wife was going to drop him off out in the parking lot. We'd meet up, and then him and I would go grab something to eat, and then I'd take him home. And that's pretty much exactly how that happened.
Yep.
Todd left. He went home with his daughter. I met Steve out in the parking lot. He then asked me, where do I want to go eat? And I explained to him just how simple my tastes are. Burger and bun. What did I order, Steve?
Burger and bun. That was it.
My gosh, Dale Wiley times two.
What's wrong with safe? I mean, clearly, my body was not in a safe location on the map. So my taste bud should at least be.
Let's get a burger and bun and get the hell out of here. I don't want him to take time to put cheese or lettuce or tomatoes or onions or, yeah.
No, but, you know, so I wasn't very picky, but Steve really recommended this restaurant. It's a restaurant that, you know, he frequented 3 hours earlier.
Yeah.
It was a hole-in-the-wall wing joint.
Oh, it was so good.
So I got a burger, I got some cheese sticks, some French fries, and speaking of like, remember how I was describing like the bathroom in people's basement? Well, let me just say this, like what the Webster's definition of what I was trying to explain would be this place's bathroom.
It is the toilets elevated up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gosh. Like, I guess I did. Looking from the outside of the building, I really didn't expect anything different. It's not like it came as a shock. But I'm like, these walls aren't square to each other. And they could have at least put the toilet, like, straight. It was, crooked as all get out.
There's a lot of that down in the Berg. I've gone into places down there, and it's like, I want to go in and wash my hands before I eat. I've walked in, and it was like, you know what? I'm probably good. I'm not even going to bother.
Yeah. I mean, you got to kind of have to like brace yourself because the floor isn't level.
Take my chance.
But
the wings are fantastic. Like Andy said earlier in the day, my girls had a basketball game. After that, we went to this place, got a bunch of wings. And then here I come 3 hours later, and they're like, you're back, but with a different crowd. I said, yeah, it's a party of one here.
I mean, so, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it, man.
Okay, so what? The I never approached this topic when we were there because I was really hungry, but you felt safe taking your wife and three daughters to this place?
Dude, you guys are at, listen, it's not like we're in Compton or something, and Washington's not that bad.
Okay, I want to ask you, were there or were there not shady people entering and exiting this the whole time?
Well,
did I not have to keep leaning out on the to look out the window to make sure my truck wasn't getting like the rim?
Well, that's because you were paranoid. Now, granted, again, where the show was, I don't think it's a horrible place. It's
no, where the location of the show was nice, but
yeah, but and so this is downtown Washington. Just like any downtown area, you got people of all different demographics and backgrounds and everything. And it's interesting. So it's you know, I had no reservations. I've been there a lot. I've been in that area a lot. Yeah.
Steve knows we're We're very backwards, Andy.
No. It's just we're sitting in a window seat because he wants to keep looking at his truck across the way. There's like not a soul around. I don't know.
Not a soul around. It's like, okay, so there's no one walking up and down the streets, but somehow there's like every 2 minutes someone's walking in for an order. It's like these because people disappear.
Because they drive in, park somewhere, get their order, and drive away. That's it.
They just live. They live on the streets.
Yeah, they come out of the sewers.
Yeah, they come roll up out of the holes.
Some of the people I looked at, that's not a stretch to say that they live in the sewers.
Oh man, it's a good place. I like it.
Nah, I mean, I am doing this a little bit to be funny and joking, but it was a, you could tell this town is on the downhill. You know, it's declining. It's not ramping up.
So honestly, you want to know the truth. It's actually much improved than it was, let's say, 15 years ago.
Wow. Was it different?
Well, so all the storefronts that we're in were abandoned. And so there was a revitalization. New restaurants come in. That one brewery there, this restaurant was new. So you used to go downtown, there was nothing. And now the storefronts are filling back in with, you know, attorneys and flower shops and stuff, which 15 years ago.
Attorneys doesn't surprise me.
Well, yeah. But you know what I mean? There's storefronts that now have commerce and business in it. And
like pawn shops and liquor stores.
There's no.
No.
Bail bonds.
You find it's my, so for me, I think, I mean, you came down the same way I did. Now Steve might have taken you on some back road to get out of there, but a lot easier getting out of that for some reason than getting into it. I guess it was maybe just the exits or
it's
something.
It's like the double clover leaf overlap of 79 and 70.
Right.
Yeah, because 70's right there. Yeah, that's the road I was thinking of. You jump on 70 first. Like when we pulled out of there, it was just pull out of the parking lot and go straight. Getting in.
And then you just merge right onto 79 and you're just like, whoa, I'm here.
Yeah. And was, you know, the way they exited you in there was different, but.
So.
Yeah, so.
Anyways, I had a good burger, and
burger and bun.
It was
and your
good.
Your truck was safe. No one siphoned your gas while I was there.
Yep.
Or diesel. Yeah.
And so we get back to Steve's house. I pretty much scurry my way down to the basement to make sure that, you know, I keep up my weekend goal of not becoming a hindrance to the family.
Now, so what you remember, the white, after they dropped me off, they went shopping. So when we got back, they weren't home. So again, they didn't see him enter the basement. So they still didn't have confirmation you exist.
I have no idea there's actually a person.
No, yeah.
Well, your wife then does confirm that I'm there. Let me set this up. So you had some stuff you needed to do for coaching, what you do when you get done with a game. You had some stuff you needed to get done. I'm like, I'm just going to go hide in the basement. Like, yeah. There's nothing else I can do. So I'm down there, and what was it? My wife calls me. You know, I forget, you know, what time it was. But by this time, your family had already been home. I'm sitting there, and I have her on speakerphone. And then I see the light of, like, the doors open. And Andy, yeah, this is Rosie. I'm okay, I know. And I have my wife on speakerphone, and then I have another woman calling for me. And, you know, can I get you something to drink? Hot cocoa, this. I'm really good. Thank you. Like, I could tell she really wanted to be a host, but I did really also wanted to stay hidden. So
yeah, she didn't understand your objective of being a ninja.
Just,
you know,
well, just because it's like I spurred it on you somewhat last minute, and you know, we had a conversation a year earlier that it's not worth repeating right now, and I'm like, you know, I don't want their weekend, any of their weekends, to be like, yeah, it was kind of weird. We got home, he's sitting on the couch, he was eating food. You know, cooking his own breakfast and making dishes, and
And you got to put yourself in Steve's shoes here too. Like, hey guys, I have one of my good friends coming over this weekend. However, he is a ninja.
You will not see or hear him.
You will not see or hear him. He will be living in the basement. Do not confront him. Do not
do not do anything.
If you try to go down, he will blend in with the shadows.
Yeah. Do not
talk to him. He will be gone before you know it. He's trying to explain this to his little girls and his wife, and they're like, who the hell's in our basement?
Well, the funny thing is they know Andy. They've seen him. You know, when we go up north and stuff, they've seen him before, so it's not like he's a stranger per se, but because the way it was treated, they're like, wait, so who is this? Is this that same guy? Yeah, well, why is he, like, hiding in our basement?
Well, see, because the police have this thing called a warrant, and...
Yeah. He's wanted in 12 states.
Don't go to the post office right now because you'll point.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I just wanted to stay out of everyone's hair because I felt as though I was an inconvenience. And we're spending a lot of time on this, but I thought it got to a point to where it was humorous and I just had to carry it out.
Yeah. He took it. He really wanted that ninja thing after the day one of getting in and out successfully. He's like, I'm in, I'm doing this. No one's going to know I exist, was ever here.
Yep.
So,
like, it never happened. So, Sunday I wake up and I'm like, listen, I can't impose anymore. This, you know, I just wanted to be as best a guest as possible. So I woke up at 5:30. I got a shower, got all cleaned up, and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go. So I take all the covers and stuff off the air mattress. I fold everything up real nice, let all the air out of the air mattress, fold that up real nice, and kind of reorganized everything, coiled up the extension cord, and I put it all nice and neat and tidy. I grab all my stuff and I make my way up. And so instead of going out the garage, Steven told me, he's like, listen, your shoes are going to be over here. And I don't know, what do you call that? The back door, a patio? What?
Yeah, it goes out to the backyard. Yeah.
Okay. You're like, the shoes will be here. So just when it's time to go, unlock this, go out the back. You're going to be right at your truck anyway. Just leave it unlocked. You know, no big deal. So I'm kind of carrying all my stuff up, and I get to that back door, and I open up the first door, and there's like a screen door, and I happen to look, and I left a little later than I did than on Saturday, because the Muskie Max does not start on Sunday until 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, it fell on the time change weekend, and that would play a big factor at 10 o'clock, but it did not this time, so everyone's like, 10 o'clock, huh? What are we going to do? So I'm like, well, I'm not going to try to get out super early. It was probably around 6:30. It was there was enough daylight going on that when I opened that first door, and again, I'm trying to be a ninja, so this comes into play. I open it up real quiet, and I look, I'm like, holy crap, there's deer right there. And you have this like little enclosed porch type thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking through the windows, but there's some stuff that's covered up, and then I think like the blinds were down. There was something that was really limiting my vertical view, and I'm like, there's a couple deer right there. I'm like, holy crap, this is neat. So I get
now you instantly go into ninja touch.
Oh, this is to the extreme. This Super is ninja, ninja squared at this point. So I'm looking and I'm like, okay, there's a doe and a fawn off to the left a little bit. I'm like, there's a couple deer right there. And I'm like, okay. And then it either put its head down or picked its head up. And I'm like, ooh, that's a good buck. And it's in bow range. And I'm getting excited. I'm like trying to get my phone. And I'm like, okay, I've got too much stuff. I've got a bag full of like my towels and stuff. I brought my own towels and my pillow and then my little suitcase. And I'm like, which one do I put down? I really don't want my pillow put down. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm getting the phone out, doing one-handed thing, and that buck never gave me another good shot. I tried filming it, but I was so focused on that deer, and then I started looking around. I'm like, holy crap, there's another buck off to the right. It's bedded in his yard. Like, it's bedded down, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. And by this time, the doe and the fawn are kind of like, what's going on? But they don't really know, but I'm really sneaky. Just ask Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And And I'm looking, and I'm like, holy crap, there's another deer. And I just, all of a sudden, like, when you expand your vision, I'm looking at, like, a herd of bucks with a doe and a fawn. And yeah. Like, and it wasn't until I was trying to film that first one, that first good buck. And that first good buck is probably a 110-inch deer, somewhere around in there. It was good for being, you know, March 3rd and still having its antlers. And filming that, I some more movement caught off to the left over the doe and the fawn, and there's another buck. And then I'm looking through his little thing of spruces. I'm like, there's two more deer back there, and they're both bucks. And I'm like, okay. And they kind of start sensing something was up, and they started moving off to the left. And I'm like, okay, because I'm going right. Perfect. So I get out that, and I'm like, okay, I got to make two trips anyway. So I'm going to be real quiet. I have to go through another little door. I go through that other little door. Now I'm on the outside. And the deer are now looking my way. And I'm like, okay. So I kneel down. I pull out the phone. And maybe I overplayed my hand on this one. Because as I knelt down, obviously a human. Like, I'm not trying to fool anybody on this. This one, beautiful buck. It was sub 100 inch, but it was still a beautiful 90 to 100 inch 8-point. Real nice bases, but short tines. It looks over at me. It's like, what's going on here? And I'm like, okay, you're going to stomp or just turn around and run. It starts walking to me. It starts walking to me. And I mean, it closed 10 yards to me. I'm like, I've got a 15-yard shot. And then this thing just kind of turns and just kind of starts walking. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why am I? I'm like, what am I doing? So I get up, go to my truck. I'm like, okay, I've got shorts on. I've got shoes on. Screw it. I'm going to go. I've been back in those woods once. So I got across the yard and jumped down in the mud ditch and start crawling around the hillside to see if I can find any antlers. You know, but obviously there were 10 that walked away. And when I say walked away, I got to the edge where what I call the mud ditch. I got to the edge there and I look and they're like staring at me at 30 and 40 yards. Just like, what? What are you doing over here? This is ours.
And Steve, this is the point that Andy's like, you know, I have all this time invested in this property in New York and where I'm hunting up in, up around his house there in Edinburgh. And it's like, why not just move to the ghetto and just get him, you know?
Yeah. Well, for the record, my house is not in the ghetto, but.
Comparatively, like if a deer was removed from my place down there, it would have an opinion of a ghetto.
Well, but so the funny thing, Todd, like he's telling the story like this is extraordinary. Every morning I wake up, there's a herd of deer there, and they look at me like, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but
Andy does everything to try to get them to.
To go where I want, and he has deer trails that look like dirt bike ruts coming into a 30 by 30 yard. They're bedding down there against fences and stuff. And they're just like, yeah, we got a couple pine trees. That's all we need.
I'll just sleep on a limb. Yeah.
Yeah. This swing set's really nice. Thing.
So where Andy comes out, I have a sun porch, like a screened in porch. And right beyond that is like just a fish pond that has a waterfall and stuff. Well, those deer come all the way up against the sun porch to drink out of that like it's their personal water fountain. So it's not a surprise when I go out there and there he is 10 feet away with his head up against the screen looking at me. I mean, so here's Andy going into ninja mode. And these things, you could probably feed out of your hands.
Oh, my gosh. Like, if you would have seen me moving, I was, like, clearing logs. I'm like, I've got a couple minutes. I got to get this. Don't slip and fall because this is what I'm wearing at the max. I'm not going back in to change. That door is already closed. Nope. That's going to risk the mission. So it's like slimy, greasy mud hill. And I'm like, I'm going, I do a quick lap. I'm like, you know what? What would it have taken for me to throw in my boots in here? And then I'm like, if Steve would have told me he has nice racked bucks in his yard every day, I would have been gone. But he would have been like, man, the Muskie Max starts at 10. Why is Andy still here at 5 to 10? And I'm just like trudging through the bushes that are back there. But needless to say, I did a quick lap. I didn't find any antlers, at least not on the ground. And yeah. I get back to the truck and my shoes are just covered in mud. And I'm like, I ain't got time for this. I'm gonna go right to the show. And I brought a change of shoes. So I changed my shoes while I was waiting for Sean to open up the door. And that's what I ended up doing. And if anyone has a more riveting story than me chasing antlers that are still on the deer's head, speak up now. Well,
that one was walking towards you. I mean, you never know.
Oh, my gosh. If they would have fallen.
Oh, if they would have fallen.
If they both would have fallen, it would have been like, hey, Todd, by the time you get down to the Muskie Max, the blood might have dried on these. This is how fresh they are. They still are warm from his body heat.
Yeah.
I mean, and it could happen. Something like that could happen.
They could be all down there now. Maybe I'll walk out this weekend and see.
Did you ever find one in your yard, Steve?
I've never looked. Oh, in the yard itself?
Yeah,
never in the yard, but I've never gone in those woods either. I
mean, well, yeah, I just wanted to find one in the yard, like mowing grass.
No, never in the yard, no.
Well, you had a pretty high percentage if those deer keep coming in.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for them.
Fish pond, Andy. Actually, you got to put in a little fish pond.
I got to have goldfish. That is that is next level stuff.
Yeah.
So we get down, and I start getting set up for the Sunday special. So I put out the 7.5-inch through wire Sioux band that Dave sent down to us in brushed perch. And then he also painted brushed perch on the 8-inch softtail raptors. And it was like the perfect amount. By the time the doors opened, there was a short little line. Everyone got what they wanted. And when the last one left, there was no one left in line. It was perfect. It was smooth. No yelling, no pushing, no fighting, nothing. Just boom, 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 out. And then it was a pretty solid Sunday.
Yeah.
Pretty good, strong, sales. You know, we had plenty of time to talk with people, and it was very pleasant. And, gosh, what was there anything else? Steve, you went down there.
So, yeah, Steve was down Sunday. What did you, Andy brought that up earlier, that you did pick up some gear, man. What did you pick up?
So the challenge was this. I every year my uncle and I go, we meet him, go to a local diner, and then we go down to the shop. And I said to my uncle while we're eating my breakfast, I said, I'm not spending a penny. I said, unless I see something very unique, otherwise, maybe I'll do a couple raffles, but that's it. So we head down. And again, the venue, I thought, I like the fact that the parking was great because you actually walk down the mall. There's a food court if you wanted to eat, and then you go down to the left. And it was an old, I think, Joann Fabrics that they set up shop in. So we talked about how great the lighting was, and the room was nice. And so we start walking around. I saw you guys, and we just kept going. And again, I'm not going to buy anything. Well, then I see this one lure that it was very unique to me. So I thought, oh, crud, I guess I'm going to have to break my thing here. So I ended up buying two of them. Okay, still not bad. As we continue through, this one guy at a booth says, hey, we're running a deal here. They had the Compre. They were the older Shimano Compres that I think they're trying to liquidate for the new version, but I've never fished one. So I pick it up, and I said, man, this doesn't feel too bad. I really wonder how they are to fish because I just like gear. And the guy comes over and says, hey, I'll make you a deal. If you buy a Tranx 400, we'll spool it up for you. You get a leader, and pretty much with the percentages off, you pretty much get the rod for free, which, these are like $170 rods. Well, I couldn't resist.
How could you say no?
Oh, no. Well, then he said, if my uncle buys one, he'll even knock $40 off it for that. So my uncle's like, well, I guess I got to buy one. So he ends up buying one. So here I am now with a rod and reel. With line that I don't need any of, but I'm just.
It's a deal's a deal.
You just got to do the deal. And then I kept walking around, and then I found some more lures I felt unique, and I bought those lures. And then, like I mentioned, I bought some raffles. Well, I won one of the raffle baskets that had lures in it. So I went going to buy nothing, and I came home with quite a haul.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, but then what was nice is as soon as I got home, my wife and the girls were out. I said, well, I'm going to the local lake, and I fished all the lures with my new rod and reel. Now, there's no muskie in this lake, but just to try them out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was nice. I'm happy with my purchases. But it was cool, really nice venue, though. I thought it was a good show, and it's always good every year to see the new products and see some of the old, and yeah, it was good.
Well, nice. Todd, do you have anything to add?
No, man. I mean, it went great. I thought it was just a musky max. Different venue, different area, but same amount of people, same great product from Sean Le Party, you know?
Yeah. He did a great job.
I will say that when we walked out to start packing up the truck, that weather, it was like punching me in the face.
Yeah.
It was like 69 degrees out and sunny, and I'm like, where did this come from?
Yeah. It's always sunny in Washington, PA.
Did you say bloody? But, yeah.
Great.
Anyways, that was the Muskie Max recap. I want to thank everyone that, you know, swung by the AZ booth, said hi. You know, if you bought something, that's great. If you just chatted with us, that's great. I like hearing from everybody. So, you know, big thanks to Sean and, you know, everyone who attended. And aside from that, Todd, Steve, you want to add anything?
Yeah, I will say. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, it's same for me. Thanks for everybody that stopped by mcfishingguides.com, Muddy Creek Fishing Guides, and booked quite a few trips down there. And, you know, thanks for coming over, talking to us, booking your trip. We'll get you out there and get you on some fish.
And Steve?
Yeah, again, I just think it really sets up good for a good season. And Todd, like you mentioned, I hope a lot of people take you up on it. I know I've fished with you before, and it's always a fantastic time. So it's cool to get out there and use those lures. And I have to compliment Todd, your daughter. She hustled. She worked it. She really was a good service to the booth and making sales and stuff. It was impressive. So you should be proud. And she definitely added to it. And it was good. It was a good show. And
yep, people like our main business card that they hand out, and the main banner that we have hanging right there is a picture. And there's many people like seeing her, like, oh, that's you. But that now. For us, it's not that long of a, you know, it's 5 years ago. Now she's like 6'4", or not
6'4".
Now she's like 5'4", but before, you know, that the story is, you know, that fish was 2-3.5 inches longer than her. But yeah, it's really not that long ago, and a lot of people recognize that, and she gets a kick out of that, too. She remembers. Yes. Yeah.
Certainly cool. It was good.
Well, if it stays in that same area, I hope I was a good enough guest that I'm invited back to the basement.
You going to ninja mode it next time, too? Because I feel like this podcast was more of you staying in my basement than the muskie.
Well, because it was, like, extremely entertaining for me to try to keep this up. And in the little candy dish, there was some, like, not gas station milk chocolate. And I took some on Saturday just to be polite, and the magical thing was there was more there on Sunday. So, like, it gets replenished, which could be a really bad mistake on your wife's part, because I don't think she realizes how much chocolate I can put down.
Right. This was a local special, Saris, so you got the local flavor.
I did, but you guys really don't know how much I can put down, so...
Well, I'll tell her next time not to waste space with the chips and just give you a chocolate bowl.
I lived on the New York show. He lived on Oreos.
Yeah, not any Oreos. The double stuffed ones.
Mega
stuff. Good stuff.
I'm going to tell you. Oh, there was a guy who had a booth next to us who was acting very funny on Friday when I showed up with a thing of Mega Stuffs, and I had a few. and I offered it to him. And normally I don't expect, you know, I knew this person, but not like know him. And like, hey, you want a cookie? Okay, yeah. Grabbed one, two, and then the whole row. I'm like, oh, okay. He leaves, comes back, grabs another whole row. I'm not kidding. Half of the Oreos, and I gave some to other people. It wasn't like I was picking down on them. I'm like, did you see that they took all? Well, it became clear why, and I'm not going to explain why, but I think most people could understand if people are really hungry for snacks. So I'm going to leave it at that.
And Andy, talk about what we're got loaded up on the website there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I just, after a lot of pulling my own hair out, which I don't have much left of, I got the website straightened around, and I put all the remaining show colors of the Raptors, the six-inch softail, the 8, and the 8-inch softail, in the show colors that we painted. If anyone's been following Facebook, I put a link right up on Facebook. Check that out, or you can just go right to the website, fatazmuskie.com, to see the show colors if you weren't able to come to the show.
And all the standard colors are off right now. This is just like a get rid of this stuff from the show, right?
This is, yes, because at this point, you know, eventually I'll probably end up putting the standard colors on there, but you can find the standard colors at Muskie Tackle Online. Team Rhino might have some left. I'm not sure, but Muskie Tackle Online just got a nice big shipment in, so...
Very nice.
And I got to tell you, the show colors were fantastic this year. You guys really outdid yourselves. They're really, really cool.
Well, yeah. Todd learned how to paint. That was the difference.
Yours were pretty good.
And I was impressed by your skills, Todd. And I'm always impressed by Andy's because I thought they were really nice. I just kept staring at them on the racks and picking them up because they're really nice.
Well, thank you. All right. Let's end this. Thanks for listening. Thanks for seeing us at the Muskie Max. Good luck fishing.